Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 6, and if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM, your favorite radio station. And it's a Thursday already. Time seems to be flying, just flying us towards Christmas, and then it will fly us towards New Year, and then it will crawl us to the end of January. Notice I said fly towards Christmas, fly towards New Year, and boy, will it crawl. All of a sudden, everyone wants a friend who's a teacher because they know that, hey, the gap there, by the difference between the 20th and the month end, you in January is longer than any other months. Actually, at this point, I think we may as well just come to a unanimous consensus that January is a year, not a month. But, you know, it's debatable, but the reason why it's debatable is because it depends on the length of January's length depends on how much money you have. If you overparty during the festive season, if you overparty now, January is going to look like it's a 365 days month instead of, 31. But if you just leave some for, if you account for January in your partying for this festive season, you see that January is actually a month. If you are broke, it's a year. If you have money, it's a month. Interesting. Psychologists must look into that. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Today we are going to talk about corruption on a global stage. This is in line with the ongoing UN anti-corruption conference going on in Doha, Qatar. It started on the 15th of December and it's running until tomorrow. A whole week. I will really try to be professional today, because this is one of those topics that gets on my nerves. And it's not a me thing, it's a we thing. So that's what, from yesterday when I started preparing for this, I kept telling myself, remember, it's not a, it's not a you thing. It's a, it's not a you individual thing. It's a you collective thing. So now that we have that out of the way, the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost, and ancestors, throw them also in that bucket, because we are going to need all of them on this one. So, anti-corruption on a global stage. You know something that's interesting? When it comes to measuring corruption, when it comes to statistics of corruption worldwide, Transparency International is one of those institutions that try to keep up with the, with corruption statistics, in a sense that they don't move from one country to another. They operate on an international level. They don't move from one country to another conducting their own independent research on how corrupt, how corrupt individual country that they assess is. They depend on independent third party institutions or organizations that are in this, mostly those ones that are operating in these respective countries. And then they get those, then they take those statistics that's given to them, most of which are based on the source, on Trust Me Bro as the main source. And then they compile what they, their annual reports of what they referred to as the Corruption Perception Index, to show which country is the most corrupt, which one is the least corrupt. And which is why money is very important, people. Money is important. If you are going to come up with initiatives, fund them. Because this, when you look at the benefactors, financial-wise, when you look at the benefactors of the institutions that are more often compiling this annual list of the most corrupt to the least corrupt list of countries, you see that most of the benefactors, actually benefactors, 90% of them are coming out of the Western countries. And you wonder why countries that are least corrupt, that comes out as least corrupt in the list of, on the list of this annual Corruption Perception Index, are also from Western countries, which makes me go like, look, I'm not a researcher by profession or any expert at that, minus comedy, I'm an expert at that. But this is too fishy to ignore. Now, that alone gets on my nerves Big time. Because you have no idea. I've been falling for those statistics without questioning their source since high school. Yeah, I've been a political fanatic for a very long time. But if you're asking when, how long was high school? It was 2012. That is how long. I can't. That's a long time ago. Now, then, this week, because, I just like to, I don't have a lot of, I don't have much life outside my house. Actually, my room. Yeah. So, I sleep a lot. And as you can imagine, also eat a lot. Because of that, I also have to do something to kill boredom. And reading is one of those things. So while going through this whole corruption discussion, I came across a very interesting book. And that book is coming out of, you guessed it, China. Now, one gentleman who was as curious as I am on this whole compilation of the reports of the least corrupt to most corrupt countries in the world decided to, because he's an expert, right? He decided to conduct his own research on, on corruption, where he began from the very definition of corruption, how it's, how it's categorized, how it's defined and all that, and published a very nice book. The gentleman's name is Yuan Yuan Ang. Don't ask me to say that again, because believe me, I've been practicing for almost a week. Now, instead of just defining corruption as, in one size fits all category, Mr. Yuan Yuan Ang decided to split corruption in sort of like four categories, and those four categories are petty theft, grand theft, speed money, and access money. Don't worry, it's going to make sense in a few. And then those four are subcategories. The two main categories are corrupt, done by mostly non-elites, and also corruption. Two main categories of corruptions are, there's a category of corruption that is dominated by non-elites, aka you and me, those of us that cannot afford an iPhone with 2 SIM cards. And then you have another category of corruption that's dominated by the elites, those ones that can afford iPhone with 2 SIM cards, Poloni, Mercedes-Benz with 2 engines, blah, blah, blah. You get the point. Now, what Mr. Very difficult name, points out then is, slowly dives into the categorization of different categories of corruption. First of all, you have the petty theft. You have the grand theft, not grand theft auto. Fellow gamers, relax. This one is just a political, economical, not entertainment. Now, and then there are two main. It's a table that you must actually look at to sort of like understand how the classification of corruption is being categorized by this gentleman. That the two main corruptions are, corruption can be classified in two main categories: corruption dominated by the elites and corruption dominated by the non-elites. Take, take $100 bribe between Otavi and Tumepo now. That type of corruption is one that's most likely dominated by the non-elites, because the elites drive there and tell them that, do you know who I am? And then they drive through.
Dika e sebo jo hobisa na kopwe ko Shoprite. Ga kana o ntando dokiri o nene no hobisa e fudo mi pumbi wa es okege ngashi. O harma matsela ka tano do kanto pe kombuta yo rama original. Ko dromiro mbe na kita ku no sendo mi no wino we. O sho ke jine vin timbu yo mbaka tsoa yo real good. Ko dore sire no mi no wino we no send o mi no wino we. Ganja no kumana o shinji mo wo fandi sa yo kiri ko Shoprite. Very go so mi no mbali na kita tu ga December novo. O ko Shoprite akuke. Kakero to vrona tago ukura ndao shari ko ShopRite. Ningangei, landi ni mita tuiri metiga thano. Tara nao kamba pila koe, ngeri ongoi wasenda na ethimbo njoka. Kara nukura nda ikando iji, wiji njipare kompito yoye. Yoku sindana. Ethiga thano, tari kuruma mirongo mbali na gatano ka December, nufo.
Welcome back. Now, where were we? Oh, welcome to Home Run, Eagle FM. You can subscribe to the e-villager by sending, coming out tomorrow? Have to confirm that. But you can still subscribe by sending your email address or phone number, or you can just send the word subscribe to 08120041440 08120041440. No one is going to call you to donate money because the paper, the e-paper, the soft paper, the e-paper is free. So if someone tells you that, of course you're telling you that, well, I'm calling from Eagle FM, just send me this amount of money, and then I will send you the e-villager. Tell them, I have an app in my phone where, you know, that I listen through. I have one of those traditional radios that I listen through, and all the presenters keep saying it's free. Who the heck are you? First of all, it's very easy to catch someone if they're pretending to call you from Eagle FM. First of all, yes, I work for Eagle FM. Which department? I'm a radio producer. Which program? Home Run. Nah, you have a deep voice. The Home Run guy has a mosquito voice, so goodbye. Just newsflash. I can say that to myself if you say it to me. It's body shaming. Man, I love the 21st century. Get out of jail free card. A lot of them lying around. Anyway, on the coming back to the categorization of categorization of corruption. Category number one is dominated by category number one is one that's dominated by non-elites. And in category number one, you have petty theft and speed money. And category number two, types of corruption that's dominated by the elites. That's where we find grand theft and access money. Now, what does all these big words mean? Well, the expert, the writer of the book, basically decided to dive deeper. Now, for those of you that have been living under a rock, last week we were told that one gentleman is involved in the transport industry, private though it may be, found himself in hot soup after trying to bribe a police officer between Otavi and Tsumeb with $100. Now, those type of corruption, that is corruption. That type of corruption is, that's for non-elites. Because elites also commit similar type of corruption, but somewhat differently. How do they do that? They will just drive. And then if you want to give them a fine, they will tell you, I know your boss. I will call him and get you fired. You know, power. Now, that's a whole category of corruption. Now, let's define terms here. Now, in category number one, you have petty theft and speed money. What do they mean? Fasten your seatbelt as we dive deeper into the discussion, shall we? Now, petty theft. The good gentleman here starts with an example. In Bangkok, Thailand, complaints about police shakedown on the rise. As an anti-corruption politician puts it, if you go to Sukhumvit Road, that's like Sem Nujoma Drive there in Bangkok. If you go to that road with a very difficult name, you can see police looking for tourists who are smoking or drop a cigarette, a cigarette butt. Then they ask for their passport and make them pay pay up to $60. This is the equivalent of, take for example, the festive season, and you are just driving your hard-earned Dangi Botswana home, and you service it to the best of your ability. Your roadworthiness, all the papers are in place. And you are driving to the best of, your driving skills are on your best behavior in public road. and you run into police officers who are just looking for a fault on this car. They'll be like, indicators, they are working. Wipers, it's in the middle of a summer day. They are going, wipers, they are working. Tires, they are all new. Mirrors, everything, they are just looking for an excuse because, well, they are looking for an excuse to give you a fine. They can't find one. But they are praying for one. They will let you go. Sadly, for them, they will let you go. But they really, that's just after a lot of unnecessary questions. That is one of those corruptions that is categorized by Mr. Yuen Yuen Ang as a petty theft. Now, then we move on to another corruption that is associated, according to the gentleman here, with non-elites. Petty theft is also associated, is dominated by non-elites. Another category of corruption that is dominated by non-elites is what's called speed money. Now, on this one, he uses India as an example. In India, small shops shatter despite a booming retail market because, as one retailer lamented, it's not possible to do business without greasing palms, you know, without lubricating certain officials' hands. This one is going to ring a lot of bells, but anyway. It is not possible to start a business without greasing palms or without paying bribes. A typical supermarket must obtain a daunting list of 40 permits, forcing retailers to bribe many officers in order to get these permits faster, which cuts into their thin profit margins. You know what we call informal settlements here? Well, it turns out right starting those in India, and then you need at least 40 plus, give or take, plus minus 40 permits. Seriously? 40 permits? Yo. Now, as a result, if you look now for a country like India, where you're dealing with a population of 1.3, 1.4 billion people, you can imagine how many people are lining up at these officials, offices to look for these permits. As a result, if you want to get it faster, you will have to lubricate some certain officials' hands. And the perfect example of that, it's not corruption. I think it's called incentives in this case, in the example that I'm about to give. In an article about the privately owned transport services here in Namibia, a certain seven-seater driver was interviewed, who was kind enough to talk to the media, and he did point out that this time of the year, transport services, we're making a lot of money. And because this is travel time, it's peak travel time. As a result, a lot of people, these transport service providers, they are seeing a lot of people approaching them. They are seeing a lot of customers. There's an influx of customers to the point where some of them are just calling these drivers directly and saying, you know what, I really need to travel, like, pronto. Just name your price, type of thing. Now, I wouldn't say that is corruption. I would say that is incentivizing that private guy to prioritize you over others. Whether or not that's corruption, well, depends on your definition of corruption, of course. I'd like to look at it as, incentive. It involves a lot of money. Is it corruption? I don't know. Speed money involves someone who is mostly non-elites that are paying a lot of bribes to a lot of officials for them to get stamps to get certain papers that they need to operate their business or to do certain things that they need permits to carry out. That that is speed money. Non-elite dominated corruptions, corruptions are petty theft, a police officer just looking for a mistake on a car so that they can give you a fine. There is no mistake, then all of a sudden it's like, so when last did you wash your car, officer? What does that have to do with, like, really, the car is clean. What type of water did you use to wash this car, officer? Really? What type of water? I got it from Breakbath. No, that one has too much salt. Fine, $1,000. Now, that falls under petty theft. Now, a small business owner having to pay multiple, having to pay one or more public officials for them to acquire the permits that they need. Or, you want to start this, taxi, you want to get a taxi operating license. But it's just very difficult in Namibia. Is it difficult or impossible at this point? Depending on who you know, of course. But here's the thing. If you find yourself paying your way through getting certain permits for you to operate in a certain way or in a certain sector, if it's not the official type of payments that you are required to pay, if it's one of those things of, officer just going, I'll give you a 2,000 fine here, but just between you and me, just hand me your license with a couple of more papers with Hendrik Verboy and the founding father on it, and we'll call it even. Now that's categorized under speed money. Just put in mind, this is not based on international standards of corruption measurements or categorization. This is just based on one expert's point of view on how it should be categorized. Because in most, in a lot of Western sources, corruption is bundled in one bucket as, corruption. Even if you stop a lot of us and ask us what is corruption, we wouldn't be able to define it. Because, me taking toilet paper out of public office and then just quickly throwing it in my bag and then walking away like I didn't put toilet paper in my bag, we don't classify that as corruption, do we? Cutting a queue at a public office because you know the guy behind the counter, we don't classify that as corruption. No, I was just, I know the guy, he's just helping me out because I'm in a hurry. A quick question, who is not in a hurry? So you're telling me the people that are in the queue, they are there because they just love being in the queue. No one likes being in the queue. Let's face it, what you did was corruption. Now, let's get to the guys that can afford Poloni. So, the elites have their also like two different distinction of corruptions that they dominate. The first one being grand theft. What is grand theft? That's actually my favorite example because it starts with the following name. Sani Abacha. Sani Abacha, the military dictator of Nigeria, siphoned an estimated $4 billion US dollars from the country's central bank into his overseas accounts, which is nearly 10% of the country's entire GDP of $55 billion in 1998. And the year he left office, Swiss authorities recovered and returned $300 million of the Abacha loot to the Nigerian government. Now that is grand theft. We're going to continue on the other side of paying the bills.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipurane ngeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondututo ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite ofoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuan. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi totan juka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
And welcome back to Home Run. We continue. The time is just a minute past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is around corruption. Thanks, inspired by the ongoing United Nations Conference on Anti-Corruption in Doha, Qatar. It's ending tomorrow, which I still maintain to this day. That is like mosquitoes coming together, talking about the best ways to end malaria. But, well, there are just few rotten potatoes here and there. You find them in any organization, any family, any country, any political party, any religious institution. There was a whole fiasco in one church where the leadership was being blamed for questionably using, stealing money. You know what? I'm tired of looking for politically correct language. Plus, English is just exhausting. It's not my language. But before continue, let's take a live read. Ongodiva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive, practical, and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered: English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete an application form and pay an application fee of $150 and email the application to ongodivaachievers@wu.edu.na. Alternatively, you can send your application via WhatsApp to +264 81 651 5138. For more information, Contact Mr. Natangwe at +264 81 651 5138. Ongodiva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Back to the categorization of corruption. It's not corruption. Corruption. Someone pointed out that when you say it with a French accent, you make it sounds like a vacation spot. Corruption. Prison. Yeah. It's not a vacation spot. Ask the Fish Road guys that have been in, prison for, actually, is it holding cell at this point? Because they're still under, they're still undergoing prosecution. And after that, if they're found guilty, that's when they'll be sent to do jail time. So, speed money. We're done with that. Petty cash, not petty cash, sorry. Sorry, petty cash, guys. Sorry, not you. Petty theft. So, grand theft is what everyone, every time that we say corruption, and for a lot of Western countries and Western-influenced countries, when the word corruption is said, grand theft is the first thing that comes to mind. Petty theft does not more often come up as corruption. Speed money does not often come out as corruption. Access money is an interesting one. Access money is somewhat similar to grand theft, but with a few differences. Let's dive in a bit. For grand theft, the former dictator of Nigeria, Sani Abacha, was army general slash dictator, same WhatsApp group. Sani Abacha was used as an example of what is categorized, described as corruption on an industrial scale. Actually, corruption, looting on an industrial scale. That's Professor Lumumba's description of corruption in Africa. Because his point of view is that corruption entails there's some kind of intelligence involved in siphoning the money. What's going on in Africa is not corruption, it's looting on an industrial scale. And I totally agree with him. Why? Well, the grand theft example here, he used as an example here, well, explains exactly that. Sani Abacha siphoned 4 billion, an estimated 4 billion, from Nigeria's central bank into his own personal account, all stashed overseas. At the end of his regime, bro stole 10% of his country's GDP. Really? And this is not Namibia that we're talking about. This is Nigeria, one of the continent's biggest economies. Now, this was in 1998. So at the end of his regime, Swiss authorities, of course, there is always going to be Switzerland. I swear, when it comes to these things, when it comes to grand theft, Switzerland is always going to pop up because they have some of the most secretive financial institutions. Credit Suisse, cough cough. Their financial institutions had somewhat loosened up in terms of their confidentiality because they house the money of some of the most questionable human beings on the planet. So, after the fall of Sani Abacha's regime, the Swiss authorities recovered and returned 300 million from 4 billion. They only managed to recover 300 million and returned it to the Nigerian government. You wanna bet there was also a version of Sani Abacha in the administration that they returned that money to, in which case then they returned some of that money straight back to those Swiss bank accounts? That's grand theft. Now that takes us to access money. Always reminded to breathe, and I don't want to take a break because then I don't finish what I'm supposed to cover. Anyway, access money. Turning to China now on this one as an example. Always good to use your country as an example every time you are talking about an issue. Turning to China, one gentleman, let me just be respectful on that one. Turning to China, one gentleman who is a former party secretary of one city received a hefty gifts, plural, in gifts, bribes, and company shares for his long-time cronies in exchange for near-monopoly access to government construction and renovation projects. Yo. Within 6 years, the gentleman and his homie and his company profits multiplied 15 folds. Yo. As soon as he was investigated for corruption, its share prices dropped. So, let's just look at how closely these are. Petty theft looks really close to speed, really resembles speed money. But those two are forms of corruption, argues Yen Yen Eng. That those two are dominated by non-elites, aka those of us, with ordinary surnames. But grand theft and access money. Those ones, those two categories are also those ones are dominated by people with a, you know, with household names in different countries. Every country has those ones that when you bring up the name, they're like, oh, yeah, that one is from that family. Oh, those ones. Those ones are loaded. They are loaded in more often in questionable ways, but you can't question them when, now imagine questioning Sani Abacha when he was still in power. Are you kidding me? That's how you commit suicide. You know, by running yourself over with a train when you don't even have a driver's license. For a car. I know. I don't even know how to ride a bike. But he had a train accident. Where you were the pilot. What do you call train drivers again? I have no idea. So, this breakdown of corruption, I totally agree with, because it also points to most of us that complain about corruption. It makes us look ourselves in the mirror and go like, it may not be on a larger scale, but you have practiced at some point corruption in your life. If you know a guy who knows a guy who works in an office and you just decided to cut the queue and go straight, corruption. And if you were just driving, you know, breaking all the, you know, the traffic rules and you ran into a police officer who you chill with and are like, you know what, because no one is looking, I'll just let you go, but please don't do this again. Corruption. If you needed a license for something, if you are applying for a tender, and then you know someone either in, you know, someone in the ministry that was, you know, that was putting out the tender, or thereby Central Procurement Board, and you decided to slide into, you know, to slide them a note that says, if I get the tender, 30% of the money that I'm making, you know, I will accidentally drop in your bank account. Again, corruption. But a lot of us, every time that the word corruption is brought up, the first thing that comes, it's more often in reference to what is classified in that book as grand theft. That's what comes up. As a result, and I partly blame us, but mostly blame Western influence for that, because there are a lot of things that can, that should really be categorized under corruption, but they are not categorized as such. Bribes, for example. Take Trump, for example, and his multi-million dollar passenger airline sized, gift from the Qatari. Yeah. One thing I like? If that was here, boy, would I have a field day. That's one thing I appreciate about how petty opposition parties can be. Because when it comes to things like as obvious as that, oh, they would have a field day with that. Yeah. So, with the categorizations of corruption in mind, now that we have laid the foundation of how we should actually look at corruption, not in a way that we look at it now, let's now go to the United Nations. Let's go to Doha. But we now have to pay the bills a bit because we have a commercial break popping up. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run on Eagle FM with yours truly, Helmut. Stay tuned.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. So, where were we? Oh, we were headed to Doha, Qatar. Un momento, because I have the biggest anti-corruption come together, like on a global level, have come. The biggest anti-corruption come together is currently underway. It started on the 15th, and it's going. It's running until the 19th of December, 2025. It's taking place in Doha, Qatar, and. One of the, because it's a UN-led, UN-led event, one of those individuals that you'd basically expect to give a speech is, naturally, the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. His term is coming to an end, I think, next year or the year after that. And, then you have another Secretary General. But until then, is just the one that we have to deal with. So I managed to get from an audio of his speech that he gave, more like his video message that he gave at the 11th session of the Conference of State Parties to the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. But if you don't want to go that very mouthful, just go UN Anti-Corruption Conference. I really tried. Conference of State Parties to the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. Seriously, who has time for that? I have an hour and 30 minutes. I don't have time to go to, to be going Conference on State Parties to the United Nations Convention Against Crime every time I want to refer to it. But anyway, let's take a listen to an audio of, an audio which is a part of it. It's less than 2 minutes. That's the video message that the Secretary General Antonio Guterres sent to the to address. That's Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations, addressing the 2025 UN Anti-Corruption Conference underway in Doha, Qatar. Take a listen.
Corruption is not a victimless crime. It fuels conflicts, entrenches inequalities, and drains the resources needed to protect people and planet. Every dollar lost to economic crime is a dollar stolen from those striving for a better future. This conference is about shaping tomorrow's integrity, because in our rapidly evolving world, corruption is evolving too. Emerging technologies like artificial intelligence have the potential to accelerate corruption, but also to help us detect and prevent it. But this requires regulation and accountability. It also requires us working together across government, the private sector, and civil society. The UN Convention Against Corruption provides the framework for that cooperation. Its review mechanism has already helped countries identify gaps and advance reforms. Agreeing on its next phase is essential to ensuring this progress continues. Greed over need harms us all. Let us reaffirm our resolve to fight impunity, restore trust, and build a future where integrity prevails.
Yeah, that's all of it. For those of you that if you paid close attention, then you had the Secretary General point to, make reference to the, the implementation, the incorporation of artificial intelligence and other forms of technology into fighting corruption. That's the part that made me go, well, look, it reminds me of the cybersecurity awareness discussion that was held by Bank of Namibia and Bank of Namibia and the Bankers Association of Namibia, where they basically looked at how are we going to ensure that the financial sector is actually safe and we can say with confidence that to end users, consumers of that service like you and me, that it's safe to use. First, we have to make sure that we have to guarantee its security. To guarantee security of an institution that's used by literally millions of people is not that easy, because there are a lot of moving parts associated to operating it in a secure way. My bank account, for example, it has a lot of security. My bank account and your bank account, for example, have a lot of layers of security that can be exploited by a lot of people with bad intentions. The banks have their software securities, they have their CCTV, they have, that guy that you find next to the ATM. They have all these, all those are security measures that they put in place to ensure that the service they offer is as secure and as possible. And, they have the physical security, they have the digital security in place. And you and I, on the other hand, we have the physical security in a sense that we don't just go around blabbing our PIN numbers in a crowd of people, while we're in a queue. That would be a security flaw on our end. And digital security on our end. You don't be a yes machine. You can't just keep clicking on every link that comes in. You won $1 million when you don't even know how to play a video game. You're like, oh yes, I must have won. Please let me just follow these simple instructions. That's how you end up actually being screwed. So now, when you just look at something that may look as simple as your bank account, your bank account in comparison, of course, to a large scale cybersecurity discussion, you begin to realize that there are multiple layers of security to your banking services alone. So the human element being the worst flaw, in most cases, scammers get our private information through us. They call you pretending to be calling from where? Standard Bank. That's how that gentleman from Zambezi got the current Minister of Defense to transfer him $200,000. You can imagine homeboy tried the bank, their security was tight, and exploited the most vulnerable security flaw, the human element. So that is what made me go like, okay, here's the thing. If you classify corruption in those four categories, petty theft, grand theft, and you have petty theft. Hang on a second. Where's that list? There we go. You have petty theft, grand theft, speed money, and access money. If you just categorize corruption in that way, then you begin to realize that, then you will come to the realization that you need different mechanisms of dealing with corruption. Because more often, a lot of mechanisms that a lot of leaders, a lot of countries have in place, those mechanisms are very efficient when it comes to dealing with non-elite dominated levels of corruption. But the elite dominated ones, it's more often a slap on the wrist. Something Phillips, if I'm not mistaken, the name of the gentleman that was fined $1 million after benefiting, I think, something north of 15, 20 million dollars. In the rent manipulation in South Africa. What was the fine? $1 million. from $20 million. Look, if you are going to tell me that this is what you have to do, manipulate the Namibian dollar, and I know how to do that, and then I will just look at the laws, and then according to the law, the crime I'm about to commit, the punishment is a fine of $1 million. But if I see it through, the benefit is $20 million. Do you see why it's very easy to just say, you know what? I'll just go ahead and commit the crime, because I know that the money that I'm going to benefit from that crime is way more than the punishment, is way more than the fine I will be required to pay as a punishment for that crime. You commit the crime, you make $20 million. But if you are caught, if you are not caught, you will go away scot-free. But if you get caught, you will be punished severely by paying literally 1% of the money that you are going to benefit from the crime. Like, anyone would happily commit that crime because they know, like, really? Imagine if you have kids in your house. And then you tell your kids that in this house, there is no stealing. Now, the punishment for stealing is you pay 1% of the, 1% of the amount of money that you steal, for example. In other words, if you steal $20, your punishment will be paying back to mom and dad $1. Every child will be like, hallelujah, hallelujah. If I steal 20,000, how much will my fine be? Wait, $1,000? Okay, fine. I'll still be left with enough to go on holiday. Jeez. So, different methods of corruption, or different categories of corruption, will require different methods of dealing with them. Because if you just deal with them, like, you know, using one size fits all scenario, we have a long way to go. So I'm not against the whole idea of implementing AI into combating corruption or fighting corruption. I'm just saying you do realize there's a reason why we had a serious problem with when we conducted our election using EVs. Why? It's because technology has its own limits. When the human element does not account for those limits, what are the limits in our EV example? For our EV election results, paper trails. The machines needed paper trails. The human element, purposefully or not, chose to leave those ones out. And we have one of the most controversial elections in the history of our country's elections. So you can imagine the same shortfalls of accidentally on purpose, for the most part, by the human element, the same thing is going to be, voila, AI. To train AI, you need a lot of money. To own stake in any of these AI companies, you need a lot of money. The people that commit most of the grand theft level of corruption have a lot of money. Do you see the problem? Commercial break.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine, pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg?
Now that's just not right.
No.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. We continue. Grand theft, especially grand theft level of corruption, is not going to be very easy to combat. The one that's been going on in South Africa, on the other hand, where witnesses are dying like flies, that is a combination of of grand theft and access money. Because sometimes it's a combination of both, where witnesses are literally dying. Like, take the DJ who was recently shot. And, I think Witness D also, Witness D was killed, I think, in the presence of his wife, I think about a week or two ago. Also witness to the same case. What the message that sends is, if you look at the amount of money involved in both grand theft and access money, these are the amount of money that a lot of people would be willing to kill for. The U.S. right now is at this point, the tension between the U.S. and Venezuela is about to lead to a full-scale military conflict. At this point, the question everyone is asking is, why is the president of a whole sovereign country being told to step down from running his country by another president? That doesn't make sense. That has nothing to do with democracy. And the same Donald Trump decided to actually accuse Maduro of being a drug cartel. Is Maduro a drug cartel? I have no idea. I don't know. But then he decided to turn around. Accused Maduro of being a drug cartel, that he's a cartel leader, and then, you know, he's just pushing drugs into the U.S. market. And then turned around and then pardoned the guy who was prosecuted and convicted for exactly that crime he's accusing, someone who has never been convicted, prosecuted and convicted, the former president of Honduras. And everyone is saying that everyone is just going, everyone with a functioning brain cell, even if you have one, is going, okay, the crimes you are pardoning this guy for, aren't those crimes that, you know, this guy who was prosecuted and sentenced, aren't those the crimes that you have been accusing that guy for, you know, to the point of where you are now sending in the military to invade his country? And then you learn that it has nothing to do with drugs. It has everything to do about oil. It's just about oil. Now, you're asking, the oil is in his country. Why would you want to invade someone's country? This is just me, not Eagle FM, by the way. This is where I think y'all should really, really think twice before running around saying foreign direct investor. I'm not saying we should kick out foreign direct investors. You can imagine the economic chaos that would cause. And I'm not about to be on the receiving end of inflation or hyperinflation. For a very long time, American companies decided to spend billions of dollars building oil refineries in Venezuela. You want to guess what they called it? Foreign direct investment. Then they got to the point of where, are we really benefiting from our oil that is being, you know, drilled and refined by these guys that are from that country? They're like, okay, you know what? We'd like to take over our own oil. Now ask yourself, if you were Chevron, for example, you spent billions of dollars building an oil refinery, and then a new regime comes up and start telling you, you know, in the previous administration, a new regime pops up and then tells you that because they wanted to please the masses, but then they started telling the masses, you know what? If you vote for me, I will nationalize the natural resources. BlackRock doesn't like those words. They made that clear in 2011 that nationalizing natural resources, especially in the extractive industry, especially mining, is not very good for foreign investors. Dude, it's their resources. When BlackRock said that, I took that to be a very concerning point, because you have to understand that BlackRock is a multi-trillion dollar asset management firm. They are an asset management. That multi-trillion dollar is not theirs. They have clients who own those assets. Most of them are multinational corporations. They're basically holding, it's like the money that you find, you know, this bank is holding money to these tunes. That's not their money. That's your money. So every time that they do things, especially in reference to making their services more efficient, they are doing that for you. So when back in 2011, when BlackRock said that nationalizing natural resources, especially in the extractive industry, is it's not good for foreign investors. I would actually assume they were talking on behalf of those investors, most of whom are their clients. You know, the guys that own the assets, they currently in their custody. Now you see the problem. One president decided to go with the open market economy, foreign direct investment. So investors came and then poured in billions of dollars. And then another president came in and said, you know what, on second thought, please get out of my country. Now, after these companies, after they have spent billions of dollars building up an oil refinery, and an oil refinery is not something that you can just uproot, put in your pocket, and then walk away. You can imagine why they decided to go, you know what? We're just going to go out there and then fund someone's political campaign so that they can pass, you know, laws that are in line with us coming to you back with revenge. A country has the right to own its natural resources. But if you are going to drag someone into your country and then ask them to invest billions of dollars, and then wake up the next day, you change your mind and then kick them out, expect retaliation, which I think is exactly what's going on between the US and Venezuela right now. Because, as you can imagine, Chevron was not very happy after they were told to leave. They're like, okay, after spending all these billions, and we've seen this. BP did the same thing to Iran back in the 1950s. Like, okay, we've sent billions in your economy. We have set up these refineries, and now you want us to go. First of all, it's a lucrative business. No one want to lose it. Second of all, most of these guys are greedy as heck. Avoiding tax, they are very good at that. And under-reporting the profit they make or the oil they drill per day in terms of barrels per day, they are also very good at that. In other words, they are not angels. They still do. So, please put that in mind next time you run around saying foreign investors, local investors can, just capable of doing the same thing. The human element, that's how you should think of it. Just the human element. So, Qatar, Doha, what's going on there? Well, in their media advisory article, they decided to explain something in a little bit of a detail. The whole UN anti-corruption conference is themed. Of course, it's politics. Everything in politics has a theme. Shaping tomorrow's integrity. Integrity? You're stealing money from people that are dying in hospitals. What integrity do you have? Now I have South Africa in mind here. Not the Qatari, not the UN, not these guys. Kate Matlala. Three Lambos, all in blue, suspected to have been bought with money, mostly coming out of Tembisa hospital tenders, illegally acquired. August or November there. The first witness to that case, I think, at least the first witness that I know of, the one who flagged the first payments, some of the payments that can be attributed to this whole ongoing, commission of inquiries in South Africa, was gunned down shortly after dropping her child at school. That child will never see her mom again. Oh, peace. Not sure on that one. But that kid will never see the mother again. because someone decided to sustain their flamboyant lifestyle to the point of shooting down, of gunning down a mother, literally. DJ Somebody is one of those, is one of that case that can easily tie into what's going on in South Africa. And, by the way, Namibia's police and military armory missing guns, which were now found being used by some gangs in, is it West or Eastern Cape? But we are roped in there. Why? When it comes to amount of money, in a scale of millions and billions, you have to understand that irrespective of that person's skin color, anyone that's capable of stealing money of that scale, they are willing to kill for it. And that's exactly what's going on in South Africa, unfortunately. And we have a lot of cases here at home. I just don't have bodyguards. I would have used those ones as an example. It all boils down to human nature. So instead of focusing on the problem, let's focus on the solution. Now, on that solution, that's where the anti-corruption conference, the UN anti-corruption conference in Doha, decided to focus on. So under the theme of shaping tomorrow's integrity, the COSP 11, because it's the 11th conference, focuses on addressing new emerging threats in the fight against corruption and strengthening international cooperation to match the reality of today's complex criminal activities. When you look up a list of the most corrupt countries in the world, developing countries dominate that list. When you look up the list of the least corrupt countries in the world, developed countries dominate that list. When you look at the scandals, at who dominates the scandals of financial, especially financial scandals, those ones that are international in scope, like the Panama Papers, for example, those are dominated by Western leaders, at which I go, really? I thought we were the most corrupt. That's actually where I decided to go, China's Gilded Age, that book, that gentleman, that categorization of corruption that I started with, that man is up to something. That man is up to something. Language is very important. In a lot of Western countries, especially the US, what they call lobbying can easily fall under what we call bribe here. But they gave it a new name. It's lobbying. It's not illegal anymore. It's lobbying. So when you look at the two words, for example, bribe and lobbying, how they are practically the same thing, but theoretically, and how they are, parroted in the media, especially in mainstream media across the planet, is wildly different, especially in the Western world. It's wildly different. Because of that, it's easy to say that someone that takes bribe in Namibia will be classified as bribe in Namibia will be classified as corruption. But bribe in the US will be classified it's not bribe, it's lobbying. Therefore, it's not corruption. Then you understand why a lot of developed countries, corruption is not something that is that they are mostly associated with. That's because they practice what I call legalized corruption.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Lipurane
ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka.
okukwetera oipindi konu honda doyinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarude dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive practical and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment options. Subjects offered: English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply: complete an application form and pay an application fee of $150 Namibian and email the application form to Ongwediva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na. Alternatively, you can send your application form via WhatsApp to +264 81651 5138. For more information, contact Mr. Natangwe at +264 81 651 5138. Ongwediva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. We have 13 minutes before I call it a Thursday. Now, let's look at some of the things that has been on the agenda ever since this event started. Harnessing AI and new technologies to transform anti-corruption efforts in preventing and detecting corruption. We are going to throw AI into everything, aren't we? Okay. The links between corruption and economic and organized crime and the need for international cooperation to expose criminal networks and ensure accountability. Let's dwell a little bit on that. Expose criminal networks? DJ somebody. Hello, Witness D, South Africa. Grand theft level of corruption involves literally billions of dollars. Tembisa Hospital, $1.3 billion. For that amount of money, again, as much as we would, we don't want to face it. People have killed for less. Way less. So for that amount of money, if someone is willing to steal that amount of money that is supposed to be used to help people, to literally save lives in hospitals. In other words, someone is willing to fund their flamboyant lifestyle, even if people have to literally have to die if they investigate them or have to die due to lack of medication in the hospital, the medication that money would have enabled them to get. That's the unfortunate situation that we are dealing with when it comes to corruption. Not petty theft corruption. Grand theft corruption. That's not to say that petty theft is not corruption. It's still corruption. We're just very good at justifying what we do. And then when someone else is doing it, that's when we see everything that's wrong with it. But when we are the one doing it, we don't see anything wrong with it. All of the benefit most. When you are benefiting, that's more often said as, that's more often said in sarcasm. But that's actually one of the very sad reality about how, the mentality behind corruption on any stage. So, if you are doing, if you are cutting the queue and benefiting and you don't see anything wrong with it, so is the person stealing millions. They will do anything to justify it. And for some reason, we are all in a hype when someone is doing it. We all go bananas. But when we are the one doing it, we will find, we will scratch the bottom. We'll scratch the bellies of hell for excuses over why we're doing it. Someone will be, you know, will be sitting, you know, running home run complaining about corruption. They will be calling on home run complaining about corruption. And as soon as they find themselves in a position where they are benefiting from those very activities, all of a sudden they have the best excuse over why they are different from what they were complaining about. That's human nature, ladies and gentlemen. That is human nature. But I have 9 minutes to go, so. In cases where grand theft corruption, in cases where grand theft and where grand theft and access money, elite level corruption, those two have claimed a lot of lives in the discussion of corruption. Because, well, are investigating me, natural death, you know, from the second floor, you'll fall from there. After all, gravity is natural. One of the things the third thing on the agenda was on the agenda in the anti-corruption UN anti-corruption discussion taking place in Qatar is a measures to help countries strengthen public financial systems, improve transparency, and reduce illicit financial flows. The biggest money launderers are most likely the guys that funded this whole event. Those are the guys that are the mostly to blame when it comes to illicit financial flows. They are there in suits. Probably in between sessions, they are busy conducting illicit financial transactions. Is the problem. But that's the problem. These are the solutions that are being proposed. I'm not saying let's just throw in the towel. I'm just saying I just want us to see the mammoth task ahead of these guys. Solution to strengthen anti-corruption efforts in private sector and shape the future of global business integrity. Global business integrity. Okay. Yeah. We can do it. Have faith, Helmut. We can do it. Boy. I'm really trying to maintain a straight face here. Give me credit. I'm trying. The importance, and then the last one is the importance of safeguarding investigative journalism, media professionals, and whistleblowers to expose corruption. Whistleblowers die exposing corruption. Investigative journalists get fired, reputation ruined because of a smear campaign, or just straight up die exposing corruption. It's a scary world. Then they moved on to the, now, on the first day, they pointed out that UN Anti-Corruption Conference in Doha begins, this was on the 15th, with all, with call to harness AI in the fight against corruption and economic crimes. This is combating corruption. It's not something you end because it's human nature. We are just all selfish, naturally. We complain when we are away, or, when we are not benefiting from it, but as soon as we benefit, we just want to keep benefiting to the point where we are willing to kill so we can keep benefiting. So combating that is going to take a lot of efforts. It's going to take a lot of efforts. Doha, 15 December, UN Information Service, the world's largest anti-corruption conference began in Doha with a call to make use of emerging technologies in the fight against corruption and address its links with organized crime and other financial crimes. You know the display, you know the number that you dial in when someone is calling you, you see your number on the screen, you see the number of the person that's calling you on the screen. You want to know what inspired that initiative? Mostly scammers. Then a lot of telephone companies, British, I think, pioneered that technology. A British company pioneered that technology. And then they decided to develop, because a lot of, this was the times of landline. They didn't have a screen. A lot of their clients started complaining that, no, we are being called by a bunch of people. How do I know? Because, I would not have wasted my time picking up that call if I knew the number of the person that was calling. So they were like, okay, how about we develop a display that will display the number of the person calling so that the recipient can decide whether or not to pick up. That gave us the technology, and now it's just common. Now it's as common as, okay, who is calling now? Something like that. And now we have, we still have people being scammed with the number being displayed. Let's use AI to combat crime. Now, AI is going to make, life easy for a lot of people that are working on a lot of things, including those ones that are working on fighting crime. Preventing and ultimately eradicating corruption. Good luck with that. Is a duty we share. We owe it to people we serve. President of the United Nations General Assembly, Annalena Baerbock, pointed out in her video message to the opening of the 11th session of the 11th session of the Conference of the State of Parties to the United Nations Convention Against Crime. That's why I keep saying UN Anti-Corruption Conference. Corruption is not a victimless crime. That's the voice of the Secretary General Antonio Guterres. It fuels conflicts, entrenches inequality, and drains the resources needed to protect people and planet. All the money that's being stolen, all the money that's being channeled into private vacations. The grand theft example used in China's Gilded Age, a book that I used, as a reference in the beginning, indicates one thing. This is only something that you can fight to limit. Completely eradicate? No. You'll have to eradicate humanity. Because grand theft corruption, this is something that is very common amongst the elites. This is an elite corruption. Because how many of us can be able to transfer money without having to answer questions, let alone billions? You can transfer a million without answering questions. I can transfer $1,000 without jumping through financial institutional hoops. And those are all security measures put there to ensure that all the financial transactions I do, if I commit a crime and the police want to look into my financial dealings, then they can just go to, subpoena these financial institutions that I bank with, and they will give them that record. But for some reason, when the financial dealings involve billions, leaders on the African continent, pardon me, have been known of moving money out of their country, public funds accounts, into their private funds, into their private accounts overseas, without everyone darting an eye. Not the financial institutions. All of a sudden, their softwares, their cameras, their security guards, their, everyone, their experts, they all, they all stop working efficiently. All of a sudden, the manager falls asleep. Poor security guard is, you know, he's just there doing his job. The software has a computer glitch. Commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. So, anti-corruption. One thing to basically put in mind is that corruption is universal. In other words, it needs redefining. If you ask me, corruption needs redefining. Because the whole one-size-fits-all of when an official does it, it's corruption. But when I am doing it, it's not. Because let's face it, still corruption. Now, I'm just stuck on this South African case because it's really awesome what's going on there. That's unless you are a witness to that case, then you really have to watch your back, like literally watch your back. So non-elites corruption that is the corruption that's dominated by non-elites is petty theft, and petty theft is you just looking for a fault on someone's business or for a fault for a fault on someone's car so you can give them a fine because you are broke. Corruption. Speed money is also a non-elite dominated, dominated. This is not by the UN, by the way. Speed money is one of those corruption that's dominated by the non-elites, like, those of you and I that don't have surnames that are household names in our respective countries. Speed money is you having to pay through different officials for you to get a fine that you need, for example, to operate your business. And then there are two categories of corruption that are dominated by the elites are grand theft, which is every time, when you think grand theft, think about a leader using his executive authority or his prime ministership position or his minister position to steal money directly from public funds, from public coffers, and then sending it into their private bank accounts overseas. Yeah, that was Angola a couple of years ago. Yes, a few, not many. And access money is officials accepting bribes. They are not stealing from public offers. They are accepting bribes they are accepting bribes from public companies, for example, or multinational or local or multinational, so that they can have an upper hand in some type of competition, be it applying for a tender or, especially when it comes to this whole tender thing. That would have been an excellent example. That is corruption. So, carry a queue because you know the guy behind the counter, corruption. Slipping $100 between Otavi and Tsumep in the hands of a police officer so that they can just let your $500 fine slide. Corruption. That's not me, by the way. That's the categorization of which I agree with, from China's Gilded Age, A Paradox of Economic Boom and Vast Corruption by Yuan Yuaneng. Totally agree with Homeboy on that one. Now, in most part of the book, he's just questioning, things like the current common definition of what corruption is, and how the loose definition of corruption that is commonly used today trickles down into how it's more often, how countries are miscategorized in terms of which one is most corrupt and which one is least corrupt. By mostly institutions like Transparency International, puts up this, I think it's an annual, I think they started somewhere around 1991, 1992, putting out these statistics of, corruption perception index where they release a list of the least corrupt countries and the most corrupt countries. And to be fair, they actually don't just go from one country to another conducting, these investigations themselves. They depend on independent third party to provide them that information. Now you totally understand why the list that you find online of the most corrupt or least corrupt countries or most corrupt countries on the planet may be very skewed, because you can't trust all the sources over 190 something to 200 something something countries that provided this information. Throwing in the political atmospheres in different countries and also just flat out being petty. Political pettiness of different countries. Every country has its own, pettiest guy in politics. That will, that would be the last person you would ask any information, because you know that they're just going to feed you information that tarnishes the other guy's reputation. And then you look up exporting corruption now. Oh, that's a whole discussion. This basically indicates how a lot of developing countries, a lot of developed countries contribute a lot to the corruption that takes place in a lot of developing countries. Case in point, Semeri. Corruption in Namibia? Check. Fish rot? Check. How did a developed country like Iceland contribute to that but specific corruption in a developing country like Namibia? Well, bribes. What are the chances that Namibian officials will participate or influence Icelandic companies to steal money from their people? Yeah. Good luck. With that out of the way, United Nations Anti-Corruption Conference taking place in Doha, Qatar is ending tomorrow. But what we just went through is especially that list from the use of artificial intelligence in the combating, detecting, and stopping of corruption. That's what the UN wants to implement. Let's see how far they go, and this is not actually UN's fault, basically. There are a few rotten potatoes in there, like every institution, but this is, for the organization, especially the UN. That's like, I'm telling you, that's like trying to climb a steel pole that's lubricated. That's going to be hard, but that's where human perseverance comes in. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly here, yours stay blessed. It's festive season, too much activities, too much consequences of those activities for a lot of people that are not thinking their activities through before doing them. So look both sides of the road before crossing. Don't drink and drive. Stay away from people's mjolos before you find yourself on the wrong side of the 12-gauge shotgun or 9mm. Otherwise, enjoy and stay blessed.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.